Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 says this, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I oftentimes quote verse 5 and 6 as two of my favorite verses, and at times I used to sign that under my name when I signed somebody's Bible or something, but I love them. There's so many good verses in the Bible. I love those two verses. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Tonight I'm going to preach this message, four decisions I'm thankful for. Four decisions that I'm thankful for. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the good day you've given to us. Thank you for this week of blessings that you've given. Lord, we would be foolish to go every day without thanking you for something. Lord, I know that if you gave us nothing else but salvation, we have much to be thankful for. But Lord, you've given us so much more abundantly beyond that. And I pray that we would live that out. I pray that as we look at these decisions tonight, we would make sure and check those in our lives, that we would make sure that we go forward with them, that our kids would know about them, that our families would feel these decisions made in our life each day, and encourage us as we think back on those who come before and those who will be coming after. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I did look up, the kids in junior church are going to laugh hearing that verse. I preached on this morning, writing it on the table of your heart out there in junior church, and a few years ago, I started giving something to the fourth grade, and usually just a simple thing. This is the last Sunday, normally, that the fourth graders are out in junior church, and they'll be in here as fifth graders next week, and that's always an exciting time. And so I've given them little tokens of appreciation or whatever. And usually, though, it's not like candy, thank the Lord, amen. Parents, we have too much candy around here anyway. And no, that's a good thing. The kids love it. Parents don't like it, all right? Too much dental bills and everything else. But I used to give them a little token. And you know what? One time I brought out a bunch of rocks and gave the kids rocks. You say, rocks? Well, you know, something that they could hold on to, something they could have. And it's simple, but they can look at it and go, you know what? That was the last fourth grade service I had. And today they got some slime of all things. Now, that wasn't only it, but I gave them a pencil. Everyone got to choose a unique pencil. And so each year, those are what we call mementos or memorials, right? And you have those around your house. You'll have something that you say, well, this came from Uncle so-and-so and Grandpa so-and-so and a piece of history of your family. And so that's kind of what the Memorial Day carries with it, isn't it? It should, at least. I think many times we just think it's grilling hot dogs and, you know, whatever. But it should carry some amount of memory with it. That's what it's for. And so we need not to forget that. We need to apply it in our life. And today I'm going to do a little bit of that myself personally. And there's a little bit of personal testimony in here, some things about my family. And I know that, you know what, you didn't come to hear the biography of Roger Young and all that kind of, it'd be really short, all right? But you know what, there's more to me than 30 years. Right. Does that make sense? There's a lot more. There's more to this church than the last few years. Right. There's 50 years, all right? But listen, if you think of it, there's more to Blessed Hope than just the 50 years. There's the decisions made before Bob Ross started the church. And so the life is made of decisions. Decisions is a word we need to focus on. You know what? I looked up that word decided or decision in the Bible, and I found an interesting thing. The only time the word decided, that word decided, like I have decided to follow Jesus, is used in the Bible, it actually comes from King Ahab. One time, only once. I was surprised by that. So there's your Bible trivia fact for tonight. The only word decided in the Bible, Ahab says it. And if you go read that story, it's quite an interesting one. But then the word determined is used 30 times. The Bible uses the word purposed a lot of times, if you remember that, for making a decision. 19 times the word purposed is used. Settled is a way to say deciding something. Determined is used once. Purposed is used once. So really, you would think in the whole Bible, there would be a lot more of those. Does that make sense? You'd think that there would be. But wherever these words are used, I went through and I found them. And you know what? I would encourage you to do that study as well. That's not going to be the main focus of the message. But find out where people make decisions and where they made decisions and what happened because of it. that make sense? And so we could sit here and talk about the decisions that made to get you here. We could take each and every one of you, and you could tell me who your grandma is and who your grandpa is, and you know what would have happened? Did you do this growing up? What would happen if this didn't happen, right? You know, what would happen if mom and dad never met? All right, what would happen if grandma and grandpa hadn't moved here? What would happen if we had bought this? Or, you know, a lot of times people spend in the world their whole life looking back at what would happen if. You got to be careful about doing that. You don't want to live in the what would happen if. You want to, but you do need to pay attention to it. And so we could talk about our heritage as a country, as a state, as a church, as Christians. I'm thankful for decision. You know, the decision Jesus made to die on the cross. He didn't have to do that. You know, go read the Bible. He did not have to do that. He chose to do that. The book of Revelation, nobody was found worthy except for one. And I'm glad he decided to do that. Here's the thing we got to face. We wouldn't be here without somewhere along the line, someone made a decision that resulted in me sitting, being right here where I'm at.
Right.
Every time. And so we got to remember that. And I'm not just talking about spiritual decisions. I'm talking about even the secular ones, the ones that we would kind of think of, who married who or who moved where. You know what the truth is, even if your family tree does look like, you know, a pine tree that's three needles short of a haystack or whatever, I don't know, I came up with that one on my own, I don't know, that doesn't make sense, you know, but if your family tree looks like a pine tree that looks like a haystack, you got problems, all right? But listen, you know what, even if that is how your heritage looks, you might think, well, my heritage looks different than this person's heritage. Sang a few, I think last year, my wife and I sang that song, I Have a Godly Heritage. And I love that song. It is good. It's something we should be thankful for. But even if you yourself may look back and say, well, Uncle Joe, you know, he lies here and I really don't want to go see him, you know, and all that kind of stuff. If that's your heritage, I understand. But the truth is, you still have something to be thankful for. You still do. And I would like to bring, in the Bible, we have a lot of examples of this. And so what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to go to four spots in the Bible, four different decisions that were made. And I'm going to tell you why I personally am thankful for that decision in my history, in my home. And I want you to do the same thing. These are very fundamental, very easy, but you know what? They mean a lot. And you know what? Young people, listen, don't skip over when Grandpa starts talking about something that you might think is just simple. Don't you skip over that. All right, you listen to what he's saying. You know, young people, if you're there tomorrow or this week, you know, this coming, don't skip over those times when grandma and grandpa are standing there and they're telling you about something. And you might think, well, that's just simple. Okay, I've heard that before. You stop and pay attention. Because those things later on in your life can change your life. All right, you don't want to repeat either the same bad decision, and you don't want to miss the good decision that grandpa made. All right, and so let's look at them. Here we go. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. I'll turn with you here. Acts chapter 16. I'll read the story, and then I'll tell you what the decision is. Acts chapter 16, verse 23. Acts 16, 23. We find here, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Look at verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him in the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when they had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Hey, listen, you know what? Number one decision I'm thankful for is salvation. I'm thankful for salvation. Hey, I'm thankful for the decision of somebody, not me. I am thankful for mine. But let's go back just a minute. And you need to do this. You need to do this for the salvation of those who came before me. Because the truth is, I'm glad that in this story, God makes sure to stop and say, this man got saved, but it affected his house. It affected his family. And you know what the truth is? I wasn't there when my father got saved. My father was there when my grandfather got saved. My grandfather, Roger Young, was saved. And here in Indiana, actually. And so that you would call me, I guess, I don't know what generation we're talking about. Third, second, fourth, whatever. All right, third generation, I guess you could call it. Christian. But you know what? You don't inherit Christianity. You get saved, personal, a personal decision. And so, but here, we do inherit a lot, though. All right? I don't want to say that and then throw under the bus inheritance, because the truth is, we are passed down something. And here, in this story, this man changes not just his life, but his whole family's lives. And we do not know. Only God knows what happened after this. Can you imagine being this family? You know? Here's two of the most famous, infamous, we could call them, men in all of the land. And he's in charge of, you know, he's afraid he's going to kill himself. Okay? And all of a sudden, his family gets saved. And I don't know what they did. I don't know if they weren't martyrs for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. We'll find out in heaven, I'm sure. But hey, listen, we got to stop in Memorial Day in this time of year and pause and say, you know what? I'm thankful for my salvation. But I'm also thankful that a 30-year-old man in the banking industry didn't allow the world to keep him from getting saved. I'm thankful that a school teacher who happened to be married to him also didn't say no to the Lord. And that was my grandparents. And you know what? They were in their mid-30s. They had already lived a life of, you know what? They were comfortable. They were good. They went to church at times. They weren't unfaithful people. They were raised in a different environment. Hey, listen, you know what? After they got saved, they hip-hopped around to all those churches that, you know, they did hip-hop around, all right? You know, they were Quakers at one time, all right? You know, new Quaker, that was popular at some point in that decade, okay? But you know what? Listen, they slowly started reading the Bible. They got saved, truly saved, and then they slowly started reading the Bible and saying, hey, listen, we got to move over here. We got to move over here. We got to go find a church that preaches the Bible. And you know what? I'm thankful for that, because without that, my dad would have never heard about Jesus. He might have. And the truth is, we can sit around going, well, he might have. But you know what? I'd rather not put my eternity on a he might have, and I'd rather be thankful for what he did. I'm thankful for that a teenage Elizabeth Young, who happens to be my mom, accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, and a young Derek Young answered the call of salvation. I'm glad they didn't give up on their backslidden son, who needed to know for sure he was saved and got saved as well because of their testimony. I'm glad that the pastor's daughter got saved at a youth conference at 12 years of age, and she's married to me now. And I'm glad for that. I'm thankful for that heritage. Hey, listen, number one, you need to be thankful for your salvation. And you need to go back and look at what were the things that decided that. And I know the number one thing, let's not forget, the thing that truly decided your salvation was Jesus. He decided it. The day he died on the cross, he saw you. The day he died on the cross, he saw me. He saw what we would do. By the way, listen, he saw how many times you didn't get saved when you should have. You know, he saw how many times you held the pew. He saw how many times you walked away. He saw maybe, and I don't know everybody's testimony here, he saw how many times you slammed the door on somebody, soul winning. He saw how many times you ignored the gospel. But finally, hopefully, if you're in here tonight, hopefully he saw you trust him. And listen, if you're in here tonight, you say, Brother Young, I don't know. God, I don't know what you're talking about. Listen, you need to get saved tonight. This isn't a salvation message, but it is one that you need to consider. And so, you know what? I'm glad for my salvation. Number two in the Bible, we find an interesting story here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. When you sit down and you consider this guy's life, you'll see we'll go here. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Let's start there. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now here's the instruction, verse 4. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Look at verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place. Look at verse 8. And he removed from thence unto a mountain unto the east of Bethel. Look at verse 9. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. Are you getting the picture? Abraham didn't stop. He obeyed the Lord every single time. God said, I want you to go here. He went there. God said, move over to the mountain. He moved to the mountain. God said, go down this way. He went that way. And didn't he do that all the way up until, you know what? God had a promised land for him that he really would never see until his descendants saw it. Does that make sense? And so we have Abraham, but here, but you know what the truth is? The story of Abraham is simply this, obedience. Amen. He obeyed the Lord. Hey, I'm thankful for the decision to obey and follow what God wanted in my life. You know, think about this, young people. What if your youth pastor didn't obey the Lord? Would you have a youth pastor? Well, I'm sure we'd find somebody, but you wouldn't have the youth pastor you have. What if your pastor didn't obey the Lord? Well, I'm sure we'd have a pastor. You say, Brother Young, I'm sure Blessed Hope would be here. Well, maybe. I hope so. But you know what? I'm kind of glad he decided to follow that call when God called him to preach. Amen. And I'm glad he decided. Hey, listen, there's so much more. Sometimes we just gloss over that and say, well, you know, it'd be okay. I'm sure God would take care of it. I'm sure God could take care of a lot of things without our help. But he certainly likes it when we obey. And the truth is here, young people, you can't have that attitude. Well, I'm sure somebody will take care of it. That's not a good attitude to have going forward. Because the truth is, your heritage and where you got now is not founded on people saying, oh, I'm sure it'll be taken care of. That's not the way it works, okay? I'm thankful for Abram. He goes on a journey. Listen, I was, here, I'll read what I have here, all right? I was born in 1992. That's when my journey started, all right? I had no idea what was going on for that time, all right? And you know what? How many of you can remember anything before 4 years old? Anybody? All right? Not very many. Okay, there's a few. But before that age, it's hard to remember. All right? And thank the Lord for the first 1 or 2 years, you know. Mom always just say, well, they won't remember it now. But probably when she dropped me on the head or something, I don't know. Or that was what I said when I dropped my siblings on the head is what it was. But hey, listen, you know what? In 1992, I was born in Rochester, New York. My dad started ministry right out of college, and he had gotten married and had me 1 year after he got married. And he's in New York working for, you know what, that first ministry position he took in New York, he had a premature baby. I only weighed 2 pounds, 4 ounces. And in that time, that's a very high risk. It's always a high risk situation, very high risk then. And my mom got very sick, I got very sick. We spent the first month and a half there of my life in the hospital. And so, you know what? Welcome to the New York State, all right, Brother Young. But you know what? Listen, he went through some things there in New York. He went through a pastor that the church didn't like. They voted him out. They voted him to leave. He went through a following pastor that came through and had some really unusual things, and God touched his heart. And listen, God said, Derek Young, I want you to move. I want you to leave. And you know what Derek Young did? And later we found out that God was right. When God tells you to do something, do it. Don't wait around. Don't sit around thinking, well, you know what? Listen, don't do something that the devil's trying to tell you to. Be careful you know who it's coming from. But if you wait around, then you might end up in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you know what? God moved him. And here's the thing, you know, I lived in 7 different states before I was 10 years old. We lived in New York, then North Carolina, Michigan, Indiana, Iowa, Ohio, and Kentucky. I watched my dad be a pest control man. Work in a floor store. He was a pastor. He was a school teacher. He moved his 3 kids into an apartment complex right off of one of those seedy-looking storage unit buildings, all right? Yeah, we lived in a storage unit building. Not the storage unit, but the building that was there. Hey, listen, he worked as a bank teller. He ran a lawn business. He worked a night shift at a hotel. You say, Brother, why did he do that? Did he do that? Well, why did he do that? Decisions. Why did he do that? Obedience. Obedience. God told him to move. You say, why did God move him around all that much? I don't know. I'm not my dad. All right? I wasn't there. Why did God move Abraham around so much? Why didn't God just take him right to the promised land? All right? Why didn't God just do that? Hey, listen, be careful that you're not one of each of those people. There's some people over here and God's moving you around. And then there's some people over here and God's not moving you around. And both of you want to be the other guy. All right? Well, he gets to travel. I'm stuck here in this crummy old town, all right? George Bailey, all right? And then over here, you got this guy over here. You know, like, he's got so much stability, and I can't get my... Hey, listen, listen. You have no idea what God is doing in your life. Now, listen, there's 2 ways to see that, okay? This person could be out of God's will, and this person could be out of God's will. Because this guy could be over here doing what he wants, the do-what-they-want crowd. They usually mess their life up over here. And then there's the I'll do what I want and stay here crowd. They usually mess their life up. But if either one of them is doing God's will, they're in the right spot. They're in the right spot. You just make sure that's what it is. Hey, listen, if I sat down with my dad in those states and those jobs and those ministries, he would tell me that there's one time out of all those states, there's one of those states, North Carolina, he would tell me I shouldn't have moved there. You know why? And listen, I'm thankful. If I could stop, I'm thankful for a dad who's willing to admit that and say, son, I shouldn't have done this. I want you to learn. Okay? Hey, parents, we got to do that. Listen, your decisions matter. The things you do matter. I know a lot of people who get too comfortable, and you know what? When God taps them and says, okay, start moving, they don't. They sit there like this, okay? Or when God says, hey, slow down, they don't, and they keep moving forward. Hey, listen, I'm thankful for salvation, but I'm also thankful for obedience. Hey, listen, number three, I want to show you this story with our heritage. Go to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Watch me not find it, and I'm up here with goodness. There we are. Judges chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 25. Very familiar character here. Gideon. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said, Lord's given him instructions, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon went back to sleep and didn't do it. No. Salvation. Obedience. Gideon obeyed. Look at it. Number three, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, that the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. But he did it. Look at verse 30. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, they called him Jerubbabel. Hey, Brother Young, what are you talking about? Listen, I'm talking about, I'm thankful for fighting against sin. Fighting against sin. Here's a young man who was told by God, you got to go fight against your father's house and the sin that they're doing. That took some guts. Go tear down your dad's memorial. It's Memorial Day. Go tear down your dad's idol. Go tear down your dad's altar. Put an altar for the Lord on it and do that today. Okay? And he did. And you know what I find interesting here? Joash, his name here, now Jerubbabel, didn't come out and scream at his son. Shows me that dad kind of knew which direction they were supposed to be going. And he knew he was doing wrong. But when sin was pulled out, it does hurt a little bit. But the truth is, here I find a neat thing from the father. He stands up for his son and says, no, you know what? My son had the guts to do what I couldn't. And he did right. He took out sin. Now we're going to flip the tables there. And in my case, I'm thankful for parents that fought against sin in my home, in my life. You know, I'm thankful for the decision to tear down false monuments and get rid of sin. Hey, listen, you got to do that in your own life. You got to walk around and look at your life and say, you know what? What false monument do I have hanging out right here in my room? What spot, dads? What thing in my home is a false monument? What thing in my home is a memorial I shouldn't have? Okay? Hey, listen, as a dad, what memorial do I have that my kids might have to tear down because I wasn't able to do it? Hey, that's dangerous ground to walk on. It's something we should consider. But here in this story and in my personal life, it was more of the opposite. I'm thankful that my parents targeted monuments and said, hey, you need to get rid of that. Hey, you need to get rid of that. I'm thankful for godly heritage that fought against sin. And the truth is, you say, Brother Young, well, I didn't have that in my home. Well, you can have it now. You can have it going forward. You know, young people, listen, many of you have been raised in a Christian home, so you have this right now. But parents, some of you are sitting around saying, well, my mom and dad weren't saved, and You know what? I did get into some stuff that I shouldn't have gotten into. But listen, you can have that for your grandkids today. You can have that for your family today. You can have that for yourself. And here, you know what? I'm thankful for a grandmother that decided she was going to change her dress standards when she finally got saved. By the way, I told you, my grandma and grandpa didn't just get saved and go to the best kind of church, all right? They got saved and got mixed up into some all kinds of interesting stuff. But the truth is, they just kept reading the Bible. And they just, finally, there was a lady, a dear lady in the Baptist church that they were in, and she came to my grandmother and showed her the verses and said, hey, the way you're dressing, the pants that you're wearing, the things that you're doing, those aren't biblical. And she showed her. And you know what? Let me tell you something sad. I remember the day, not probably 15 years ago, my grandma looked at me and she told us that story, by the way. So grandparents, you need to tell your kids, your grandkids, the heritage. Parents, you need to, if you got a moment like that in your life, you need to stop and say, hey, your dad gave this up at one point. Or hey, your dad surrendered this to the Lord at one point. I'm not saying open the dirty laundry and show everybody, but I'm saying your kids need to know. All right? Your kids need to know the decisions that you made for the Lord. And here, I remember my grandmother telling, it wasn't just me, it was a table full of us, and she said, she was probably talking to my mom at that point, and she said, I found out the other day, I was there when she kind of started crying, she said, I found out the other day that the lady who told me that this was wrong is now going back to dressing that way. And you know, that's sad, because she said, the person who told me and showed me from the Bible I'm not supposed to wear pants anymore is now going that direction as well. And you know what? Truthfully, that happens too, so we got to watch it, okay? That's like Gideon's dad going back later and building the altar again. We don't want to do that either. So I'm glad for parents who fight against sin. Hey, listen, I'm glad my dad stopped and said, boys, you can't play basketball this year. Oh, that was not fun. You know why? Every other teenage boy was playing basketball that year. Why couldn't I play basketball? Because of my decisions. Because of James's decisions. Hey, because of the decisions of people around us. And the truth is, you say, what were they? What decisions did you make? Was it that bad? Well, no, not in our mind it wasn't. All right? But Dad looked ahead and said, you know what? The best decision for you is to sit back, sit out, sit down. Okay? And you know what? I'm thankful for the decision to listen to my dad. All right? I'm thankful for that. You know, I probably could have, well, we say that. We probably could have stormed out and started my own life. Well, good luck with that, all right? Yeah, that's what he would say. All right, you'll be back in a few minutes when you need some money. But hey, listen, I'm thankful for a dad who saw that. Hey, don't be upset at that sheltering kids. Hey, I'm thankful for a dad who one time, I put down here, confiscated my iPod. But we were poor. We didn't have iPods, all right? You know what he did? He took the CDs in the house. Took the MP3 players, took the computer, and he said, all right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to delete every song in this whole house that's not Christian and not 100% godly. Okay? Now, were they bad songs? No. You know? Star Spangled Banner. I mean, he deleted that. You know? I think he made an exception. I think he said, if it's patriotic, we'll keep it. All right? But not the patriotic like y'all are thinking, all right? You're thinking country songs, okay? That's not... We lived in the city, and Dad hated that stuff. So, you know what? Hey, you know what he did, though? You know what he did? He reined it in. He fought against sin. He saw a few little things that, though they were okay, they were becoming a little too popular. They were becoming the thing that was sung about, the thing that was talked about. And he said, you know what? I'm going to take this for a little while. And he did that for my benefit. Hey, listen, we need parents today who are willing to stand up and fight against sin. Number four, and this is it. Let's go back to Proverbs 3. Well, we don't have to go there. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11. Proverbs 3:3, we taught in junior church about the Word of God, that we're supposed to bind it about our neck, write it on the table of our heart. You know, your table is a pretty important room in your house. It's the kind of the room that you walk by, and if it's on the table, you'll probably see it, okay? That's kind of what I used for the junior church illustration today. Moms who set their stuff on the table for the kid to find and the kid still walks by it, you know. Hey, it's on the table. Okay, all right. That doesn't happen in your house. It happens in my house, okay? Deuteronomy 11. Here's where we get that, though. Verse 19, here it says, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. Hey, listen, I'm thankful for the decision that my family made to infuse God's word into everything that we did. Amen. Everything that we did. Meaning, if you walked into the house, there's a decoration on the wall with God's word on it. All right. When you walked in and there was something on the table, it was God's word. All right. When you would talk about something, we're supposed to involve God's word in it. We're supposed to live by God's word. Hey, listen. Long before Blessed Hope Baptist School, well, not before the school, but before I was here, and you know, we've been doing the Bible memory, and that's a good thing. I didn't have the same level of Bible memory. I'm so thankful that these kids are able to come to school and memorize the Bible, because I want it to be not just here, but in their heart. But I can tell you this. I remember my mother, okay, in the summertime, you know what she did? She would sit us down. She gave us Proverbs 27, okay, or Psalms 27, and said, all right, we're going to take all summer, and you're going to every one of you is going to memorize Psalms 27, okay? She didn't say it mean like that. All right, I'm sure she was mean every once in a while. All right, you know, we deserved it. She had five boys, so mom could give you that mom stare and that mom voice, all right, pretty good. But she looked at us and said, you know what? We will take you to any restaurant you want if you'll memorize Psalms 27. You say, wow, that's a pretty good deal. All the kids down here are like, well, I can do that, all right? Hey, listen, you know what? At the time of life it was, and at the age that I was, that was a great motivating factor, all right? Well, you say, Brother Young, you just memorize it to get something. You know what? It's in my heart. It's in my heart. It's in my head. You know what? We need to do that. Bind them about thy necks. Write that on the table of their heart. Hey, listen, your parents can talk about other things. Parents, we can do other stuff. My parents were of the sort that, you know what, my grandfather and all that, you know, classical music and all that kind of thing, and definitely that type of people. And you know what? There's a lot of history and culture and all that kind of stuff that they talk about. Nerdy. We were a nerdy family, okay? All right. Can you tell? All right. But listen. You know what? With all of that and with other... Listen, we had our fair share of one-liners. Come on. I've seen you teenagers talking, all right? By the way, parents, they say what you say. Oh, just so you know. All right. At school... I've seen it in my own children the other day. They say stuff and you're like, where did they get that? Oh, wait, that's mine. All right. But listen, the thing is, we can talk about other stuff. It's not that you can't live out. We're not in a complete bubble. The world is around us. You can see things. You can do things. You know, you can make some jokes. You can have some one-liners. You can quote poetry, whatever you want to do. All right. But listen, the truth is, you got to make sure that the kids know this is number one. Amen. This is number one. And they know real quickly if it's not. They know real quickly if it's not. I can take you back to times in my life where, as a teenager, I didn't want this to be number one at all. Okay? But mom and dad, I'm not being mean to mom and dad, but I can take you times to where mom didn't make it number one, and dad did. I can take you times where dad didn't make it number one, and mom did. You say, Brother Young, what's that for? It's a balance. They're a team. They're married. They love the Lord. And you know what? There were times where every once in a while, dad and mom would forget that this was the thing that we're supposed to be going by. Right. And the truth is, mom or dad. And you know what I love, though? They would come back and say, you know what? We're not supposed to be doing that. You know what? We shouldn't have done that. You know what? We shouldn't have watched that. You know what? We shouldn't have gone there. You know what? I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have acted that way. Hey, listen. As parents, we got to make sure here's the decision, elevate and proclaim truth. Elevate and proclaim truth. Yes, I'm thankful for these decisions, okay? Here we go. What about you? You thankful for these in your life? You say, Brother Young, my parents didn't get saved, or my parents didn't obey God, or my parents didn't really fight sin. Maybe they didn't elevate the truth like they should have. I'm not just talking about parents. I'm talking about grandparents. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about us in this room. If you're in this room, you should be doing these four things. They're not hard, but the truth is, if we stop any one of them, if we stop thinking about our salvation, if we stop obeying the Lord, if we stop fighting sin, boy, we got to fight sin. If we stop proclaiming the truth, pretty soon we're going to end up about like Gideon and his dad right here in this story. Hey, many people in heaven will not have the same godly heritage as what I just gave you. But many people with the same godly heritage won't be found in heaven because they ignored it. Hey, listen, do you have this kind of heritage? You don't have it, then make these decisions going forward. If you're not thankful for it, then you'll most likely get the same treatment later on in your life. Your kids won't be thankful for it either. If you're Mr. Independent, pull myself up, do it myself, you didn't get here on your own. You didn't. Go and check the decisions that I just gave you. Go think about them tomorrow. What would my life be like if Dad didn't get saved? If Mom didn't get saved? If Grandpa didn't... Hey, listen, maybe they didn't get saved. If they didn't move here, they didn't do this, if they didn't make this decision, if they didn't put this one thing in me, man, what would my life be like? Boy, if that word hadn't been said, if that phrase hadn't been uttered, if that action hadn't been taken. Now, don't live back there, but it is good to maybe tomorrow stop and think about that a little bit. Amen. And it ought to draw you closer to the Lord. And at the end, let's just stop and say, what would my life be if He didn't die for me? Well, it'd be a mess. And so I'm thankful for that. Hey, don't repeat the bad decisions that were made. Let's try to replicate the good ones. And listen, these four decisions, they're pretty good ones. So let's do it. Let's do it this week. Lord, thank you so much for these decisions, not only made by people in my life, but Lord, everybody in here hopefully can look back at a time where they said, I did get saved. If not, I pray tonight they would trust you. Lord, I pray that every person would look back at a time of obedience in their life and continue to do that. And look up the story of Abraham, how he continued to faithfully do what was right. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would fight against sin in our life. Let's go tear down idols. Help us to do that in our own heart and mind this week. Lord, I know there's things even that you brought to mind because of this message that I have to go down and, set aside and put away. I pray, God, that you would please help us then to be proclaimers of truth. Help us to be a good testimony to the people around us. And Lord, maybe because of a decision that somebody in this room makes, their whole house, their whole family, their whole neighborhood, somebody would come to you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.